I see it, Barry, this should be a very dynamite show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of In Studio. I'm your host, Ted Perch, and today I have the great pleasure to be having a conversation with Doris Madsen, and she has a new exhibit of her work here at East Hampton Media's gallery at Eastworks on Pleasant Street. And we've been talking about the nature of the exhibit, her work, and what kind of thing, what she put into this, and like, as an artist, how she expresses her feelings into this particular exhibit.
I've worked on Journeys for a couple of years. I started this work, you know, before I realized what it meant. I was using the theme of migration and settlement, colonial settlement, and then, you know, I just kept working on it and realized that it was about journeys. Yeah. And in journeys that we all have. This happened, you know, like I said, over a couple years with a lot of work. And then, you know, about a year ago, less than a year ago, when I had some work to complete for a small show at the art studio where I'm a member, mm-hmm. I just wanted to get away from, you know, the political stuff. And I decided it was more about water,
yeah,
which you'll see in the work.
Yeah.
And now, after that, you know, I got that out of my system, and which was good. I had some healing to do. And when I started working on this show, mm-hmm. or started working on this body of work, I wanted to go back to that theme.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was so much that was, you know, relevant and meaningful in our lives.
There is, yes.
That I wanted to connect it with things I was reading and hearing.
Yeah. It seems more so now. Either the world has always been slightly crazy, and there's always been a lot of turmoil, always, for centuries. So this is, in a way, this is really nothing new that we're experiencing, and yet we are experiencing it for the first time, you and I and everyone else. So it's like, what? What's going on here? This is not good.
Yeah, and the hope part, I felt like we all needed some hope. And
yeah,
I started talking to, like, my kids' generation a little bit, my nieces that I hadn't seen in a while, and nephews. Oh, what's your artwork now?
Yeah.
This was around Christmas. And, you know, what are you working on? I said, well, I'm working on hope because we all need it.
We all need
and I think I got a strange look, and I wasn't, you know, it wasn't the occasion or situation to explain too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at various times in our lives, we need that.
Yes, and it seems such a quaint notion. But, you know, any of us, if you watch the evening news, no matter what the, just network news, at the end of the day, you sit there like, oh my God, we're doomed. Humanity just doesn't seem to be able to help itself. You know, we're rushing towards what appears to be this abyss, with no total disregard from what it is that's at stake. So you're choosing this theme of, you know, journeys and hope. Is it an optimistic message?
Well, I think if you look closely, if you read the words,
yeah,
you know, and I'm not a philosopher, I'm not a scholar, I'm not a writer. But, you know, activists keep going.
Yeah.
And what keeps you going? And, you know, I found myself drawn to those feelings.
Yeah.
And it gave me context.
Because you feel like you have to do something. You have to, and you have to, you have to, you have to try and do something, at least become aware of all of the interconnections around you. And you being an artist, well, you're not a writer, you're not a philosopher, but you're an artist. So art, and we know, and we've talked before, that people communicate with language and with image. And you're an imagist. That's we call that art. It's, you know, you're dealing with using images to convey emotion and messages and all of those things. And art's always been that way. Art always serves to illustrate the situation. You know, even a landscape, like, informs you about the world that you're living in. It looks peaceful. So sometimes they're not. You know, I'm thinking of J.M.W. Turner. He used to tie himself to a mast in a ship in the middle of a storm just to experience that energy and that ferocity. And he put that in some of his landscapes, and you can tell that he's talking about this massive energy and so forth. And to get a little more earthbound, paintings like Picasso, like Guernica, and the artwork of Goya, the Spanish Civil War in the 1830s, you portray, look at what we've done to each other. And you can't help but come away from those images thinking, well, it's terrible. We can't let that, we can't, whatever you can do as an individual, you come away with a sense that you can be active. You can be an activist in your own way, right?
Yes.
On the works, There's the notation next to each one. And there's a poem here by a Palestinian poet who unfortunately was killed in the current situation. If I must die, you must live to tell my story, to sell my things, to buy a piece of cloth and some strings, make it with a long white tail, so that a child somewhere in Gaza, while looking heaven in the eye, awaiting his dad who left in a blaze, and bid no one farewell, not even to his flesh, not even to himself, sees the kite, my kite you made, flying up above, and thinks for a moment an angel is there, bringing back love. If I must die, let it bring hope, let it be a story. I don't want to, I can go on, and you have here another poem by John Donne, which I think we've all read from high school or wherever, forever. No man is an island, entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a cloud be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. As well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. There you are. I mean, those few words pretty much is an entry into all the, into that context as you were talking about.
Well, I feel really connected to that. This was, what's his date? 1531, 1571?
Well, it says his life was 1551 to 1631.
1551. So it's pretty, it's early on in, you know, our history.
Yeah.
In North America. It's Europe. It's white. And he's a poet expressing things we're dealing with now.
Yeah. That we've been dealing with all along.
Right. And it's accumulated.
Yes, it does.
And cumulative. And it really spoke to me.
Well, because, you know, right at the opening stanza, no man is an island entire of itself. We are not separate from each other. And you also brought in the concept, African concept of Ubuntu, which means we are all interconnected with each other, with the environment, with our cultures, and we just are, and we ought not to be acting as if we were.
Well, it affects us all.
Yeah.
It's all our responsibility. It's everyone's responsibility to deal with many of the hardships we're dealing with.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you can't, be an activist about it all. You can't wear it on your shoulders all the time. But it is your problem.
And you can have the awareness that you can be aware of what you can and can't do, and you can be aware of the whole context. And just being, just having that, sharing that awareness sometimes is can be a beginning for, you're actively thinking about what's going on. You look at your prints here, and you will see, and you will become part of that activist sensibility that you are a part of, or that you are conveying as well. So you become, so you can't help it. You look at these prints, and that's what you're getting. Hopefully, as you say, you're calling attention to the situation and calling out to the person to at least give it some thought. Now, we may not be individually in a position to really affect much change, but the change is actually what goes on in an individual's mind. Someone somewhere may have enough of a position to speak out and say, that's not good. And you have an audience, and it spreads. So you have to begin someplace. So you begin where you look at an image and you say, my God, yes, that's, it something clicks in your head, or you read these poems or the works and you say, oh yeah. In the art world, there's various mediums. There's painting, there's sculpture, there's all that. Printmaking is its own little niche, or it's its own little, not little, and it has been a format for centuries. And I'm sure folks are going to come and look at these prints of yours in the format they're in. So let's talk about that, because it's a little different. You're using, was it brown paper bags?
I'm using brown paper bags.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, they're really, they are really mixed media.
Yeah.
I call myself a printmaker.
Yeah.
Because I've worked in that medium for many years.
Yeah.
But I returned to some painting here. And so that, I think that's important too.
Yeah.
There's a layer of painting on all the bags.
Yeah.
Because working directly on the brown paper bags, as opposed to printmaking paper, didn't really work too well.
It's super absorbent.
And not absorbent. And it falls apart. But
yeah. Yeah.
And it's, it's brown,
yeah.
Which is a nice color. But so I prepared all these surfaces with paint,
yeah,
painting, and when that dried, I could go into my home studio or my printmaking studio to continue work.
Yeah.
And so some of the techniques I've used are monoprint.
Now, what is that?
Monoprint is one of a kind.
Okay.
So I have some relief things I've made out of cardboard. I've used a technique called collagraph.
Yeah.
And I've taken a piece of cardboard and put medium on it, like an acrylic plastic medium, drawn through it, so with a tool, a comb, something like a comb, to make those lines. And I've cut the cardboard into irregular shapes and to evoke waves.
Yeah.
So, and the painting style evokes waves too, like big strokes.
Yeah, right.
And so you'll see those forms.
Right.
And you can use those over and over again. So when you ink that, the ink stays on the top.
Right.
And then everything else retains the color of what's underneath.
Yeah.
So I use those repeatedly. And that, so that's one technique. The other technique I've used in some of these is trace monotype.
Yeah.
So you're making like a carbon paper and you're drawing on the back side.
Yes.
So you'll see some thin lines,
right,
also kind of comb-like.
Yeah.
And then you can draw on the back of that paper with anything, with a pencil, a pen, a comb, your fingers, spoon. So I get marks like that, and that's a printmaking technique.
Now, I don't want to interrupt you, but does that go into a press, or is it
that doesn't have to be a press? The collagraph has to be a press.
Yeah. Okay.
Some of this stuff you can do without, like the collagraph, I could do under other circumstances and not paper bags.
Right.
You know, I could rub it, but paper bags just don't give.
Right, no.
So I do need the press.
Right.
And then the trace monotype's another technique. And then I started some screen printing.
Ah.
So some of the, I call them symbols.
Yeah.
I've repeated them from one piece to another, is the compass rose and north magnetic point.
Yes.
And the S is kind of disguised. You'll see that. I kind of put in the global south. That's like a current term.
Yes, right.
So I decided, okay, I've got the magnetic north.
Yeah.
And now
where we are.
And now I've got the global south.
Where.
So those are
a lot of other people.
And then I stamped.
Yeah.
I had some. I have some vintage stamps. I have some new stamps. So that's what I.
Yeah.
That's what I did the words with.
So you're.
Mixed media.
Mixed media, yes. Now I was going to say you're using certain images and symbols that. It's terrific, you know, the North and the South. There's so much in our current context, politically or culturally, the global North, the global South, inequity, economics, all of that. I mean, you're calling attention to all of that. You're drawing people in, and you're educating us about certain things. And the compass rose, the direction. Where are we? Sometimes it seems as though, to me, it seems as though civilization, we're just spinning around, we're just chasing our own tails.
Well, the compass rose seems so...
classic.
Well, it seems so mild. You know, well, a rose.
Yes, well, yes.
It's a rose, so it's like, it's pretty.
Yeah.
And yet it's a navigational symbol.
Yeah, well, back in the day when
based on 360.
Yeah, global stuff was so romantic. So we call it the compass rose because that's the way whoever the first calligrapher or the first,
I know, yeah,
it looked like a rose. It's a rose. Okay, well, it's directional, it's navigational.
Yeah,
it's about where are we?
Yeah,
and also something about, you said something about using the bags as something we put our, bags are something we put stuff in and we carry along with us on our journeys. So it's, you know, it's, it's really a really rich
kind of image. Well, then I realized into this work, paper bags don't hold up. People migrating or fleeing aren't carrying paper bags.
Right.
So that's problematic.
But at the same time, it's really.
But it is symbolic.
It really is symbolic and instructive that no, they don't hold up. Our journeys get interrupted. Things fall apart. Things come together. Things fall apart. You put everything in, and stuff falls out. So you have to keep. You have to keep being active in that, otherwise you get stuck way back someplace, and not knowing where you are, and not having what you need to have to continue your journey.
Yeah, too much water, the bags fall apart, which I found. I have to.
Yeah.
Next time I go back to this work, I have to use more medium and not water.
Yeah. The whole metaphor of water. You were talking about how you worked with. You know, the images of water for a long time. Well, water, we're 70% of our bodies is water. We're all about water. So it's also water being an issue as well on, you know, all over the world. We're not running out of water, but potable water is becoming scarce. Even here in the United States, in the Southwest, we keep moving to the Southwest because of the climate, and yet we're depleting the underground water supply, and we don't seem to care. Or something like that. It's like, come on, folks, we have to stop doing this. And so all of these things come up. They came up for me. I'm looking at these things, and I'm reading what you wrote here. I'm thinking all of these things suddenly come tumbling out of the collective consciousness, and here we are doing a little activism bit, you know, promoting these works because you want people to come in and be educated. Come see, come look. Look at this. This is what I saw. This is all part of the whole storytelling. To me, it seems to be the whole storytelling overlay that humanity has, and it's part of it's who we are. We learn by storytelling. I was in this place, and this is what I saw, and you should go too. Or this is what you know. This is someone writes a poem. Their emotions, speaking their emotions about a certain situation, and so you have combined a lot of this stuff in this exhibit. Good for you.
Thank
you. Because you are speaking to these issues as a concerned person, as a person who is alive and thinking about these things, and you have a way of the means to kind of spread your perception of this. Good. That's where it starts. To me, it seems that that's where these things start. One person paints a picture, others see it, and they come away and thinking, wow, yes, and all the things that are in there, it becomes part of their thinking as well, we hope. All it takes is one person. It's not a saying, but you know, one person can make all the difference. You know, someone may come in and see your prints and come away and thinking, I'm going to do something. And they do. Well, you've done that. See, you're already.
That's nice.
You're already, well, this is the mechanism. You're a storyteller. You know, artists are storytellers. Either it's language or it's image. And so you're a storyteller. We're telling a story here. I'm trying to tell a story about a storyteller. And it's all connected. It's Ubuntu. It's all connected. And I think it seems as though we're culturally and civilizationally all around the globe, we're not there yet. You know, there's a lot of shifting. There's a lot of turmoil. The world is getting smaller. You know,
Yes, it is.
You know, our technology has drawn us together in ways that we're not yet entirely comfortable with. And we're working it out, and it's and it, it, unfortunately some of it's brutal, and there's a lot there's a lot of meaningless violence that shouldn't be happening, but this is what we know at this point. This is kind of what we know how to do. We know how to make war really well. We don't know how to make peace so well. And so, but along the way, we've had plenty of voices cautioning us and pointing that out. You mentioned Joan Baez. She has long been an anti-war, you know, activist for peace. Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela have all been what's the word? Well, they've been activists. That's as simple as it. That's as complicated as it needs to be. They've seen things that are off and really bad, and have risen to speak about it and actually affect some change. So are you. I'm encouraging everyone who's listening or watching to come down to East Hampton Media at Eastworks in the gallery. Doris's work is Journeys of Hope. It will be here through the end of April.
There's another reception on April 11th, Art Walk, coinciding with Art Walk.
True.
I belong to a printmaking studio
ZMA.
In Florence, ZMA's printmaking, which promotes, researches, teaches non-toxic printmaking.
Yeah.
It's become a leader over the years. It's
yeah, I see that.
Almost 25 years. The studio has been in existence only. The studio has been in existence almost 25 years. It's the brainchild of Liz Chalfin, who lives in Florence.
Now, they also have workshops. And
they have workshops.
They have an educational component to it.
So they have workshops. they have a teaching studio, member studio, private studio for residencies.
Yeah.
So they mount quite a few shows. There's a juried show in the fall. I can't remember the theme right now, but there's a juried show in the fall. I need to start working on that. Also, there's every member can submit work, and it's juried by the teaching faculty.
Yeah.
There's a flat file portfolio.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's that I need to submit in June. And so I need to start thinking about that. It has to be under a certain size.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a couple of these pieces I think can go into it, but the bigger pieces, unless I want to cut them up, I don't think I do. Smaller pieces I can use without cutting up. And then I have a show in December at Forbes Library.
Forbes Library, yes.
You mentioned that. I'm looking forward to that. It's a nice gallery.
That's a nice gallery. Doris, thank you for coming in and talking about your work. Once again, Doris's exhibit here at the East Hampton Media is Journeys of Hope. It's printmaking, and it's a call to wake up your consciousness about what's going on. So thank you, Doris.
And thank you. You're welcome.
We'll see you again. And so from all of us to all of you, I'm still Ted Perch, and I'm still the host of this program. And we'll see you next time on In Studio. Thank you.
Parting words would be relax. have fun and rest easy.
And aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. Okay. Thank you.